He starts the shiur first with the elementary point, with the simplest nekudah, okay? The Rebbe mentions, I just started now. The Rebbe mentions in the Maimir HaMishnah, which doesn't pick Yavis, Baal Korchachat HaChai and Baal Korchachat HaMis. Baal Korchachat means to say, you live in spite of yourself, you're forced to live, and Baal Korchachat HaMis means the person experiences hepachachayim, the opposite of life, also in spite of himself, against his wishes. And I'm going to get to this later on, but let me just mention right now, the Sichas Chelik Dalet, Pirgiyavis Pedik Hei, Pedik Dalet, I'm sorry, where this Mishnah comes from, the Rebbe has a whole Sicha on the Bakochat Achai, Bakochat Ameis, and I'm going to get to that soon. The question the Rebbe raises immediately is, you cannot say about life, Balkochach. Life, by definition, has to be beratzen. Yeah, I mean, you'll learn about this in Chassidus. What's the difference between the way a neshama fills a goof and the way electricity energizes a machine? On the one hand, it's a very stupid question. I mean, a goof is 100,000 times more sophisticated than a machine. I mean, every person understands the intricacy of a goof. It's something which is so deep, so unbelievable that it's impossible to grasp the miracle of any living thing, even something as insignificant as a piece of yeast. Certainly a very complicated and sophisticated being like a human being, lahavdil, it's shalei berach a machine. But on the other hand, we use this for purposes of distinction. One of the clear differences between the way a machine has electric running through it and the way a body is life is simple. When you put a machine on, it gets hot. And to be sure, every time you use a machine, you're breaking it. Every time you use a machine, you're breaking it. Why? Because a machine has parts. And when you use the parts, they're worn out. They grind against each other and they wear out. Electricity makes the machine function. The function, the moving of the wheels, whatever it is, creates friction, which creates heat, which is, destroys the machine. People, if they're healthy, don't overheat. The philosophical distinction, the philosophical distinction between how electricity energizes a machine and how a neshama energizes a goof is simple. When electricity gives power to a machine, you have two forces that work against each other. Electricity is pushing the machine, right? The nature of a machine, it's a daimon, it wants to be stationary. Everything that's physical, that's lifeless, wants to be sedentary, doesn't want to be moved. And these two forces work against one another. The electricity is stronger than the machine, it pushes it, and because of that it moves it. But the result is friction, right? What would happen if you would make, you can't do this physically, but hypothetically, the machine so greasy, so slippery, that even electricity couldn't push it, the machine wouldn't work, right? I push this table moves, yeah? But if there's so much grease on my hands, that when I push against the table, my hand slides, the machine doesn't move. What makes the table move is the friction. And friction, it's a physical concept, and friction really is a fight between your hand and the table. Now, you don't have to go to a Mishpat Shalom to resolve this fight. But nevertheless, any physical interaction between two things is based on friction. I mean, give you a simple example. When you're walking on the ground, yeah, nobody thinks about it. But this is something that's explained to people who think about these things. What you're actually doing is not going forward. You're pushing the ground away from you. And by pushing the ground away from you, you move forward. What happens if the ground is very slippery? You're not going to move. Why not? Because the movement comes from the friction. The friction actually means the fight between the two things. And that's why between your foot and the ground there's heat. It's not a lot of heat, because there's not a lot of friction, but there has to be some friction. If there's no friction, you're not going to be able to move. Huh? So you slide, exactly. The point being that when two physical forces interact, they fight with each other. And the interaction between the two creates the desired effect. When a neshama comes into a goof, they're emphatically two. There's more difference between a neshama and a goof than electricity and a machine. Electricity is a physical thing. It's a gashmiyistic thing. And a neshama is a ruchniyistic thing. The magic of life is harmony. When a neshama comes into a goof, it's not two anymore, it's one. The goof becomes a living thing. Not the goof is being forced into life by the neshama. And there's many proofs for this. One of them is what I told you, that bodies don't overheat. When the neshama goes into the goof, the body doesn't get hot. And one of the most beautiful proofs to this is the idea of Chai Nesi Es Atzme. You may have come across this concept in Chassidus. It's mentioned in a lot of places. A living thing is lighter than a dead thing. It's a fact. Chayin, it's a halacha even in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the expression, right? But it's a fact. Chayin naisi esatmi. Did I forget to call you? You weren't zal. Okay. Huh? Why do people float on water? Because they're lighter than water. I'm telling you why. Because there's air inside the body. They're simply lighter than the water. If you take water, put it inside the body, it sinks like a piece of stone. Right? That's what happens after a while. It floats. But if the mouth is open, or the nostrils are open, and the body fills with water, as soon as the body fills up with water, it becomes as heavy as the water itself. And it drops like a stone to the bottom. But that's a whole different concept. The beautiful thing about life, the idea of chayin hayesatmi means to say what? That when you put a neshama into a goof, you've added something else to the goof, and the goof has become less. Less goof. Because the goof, the neshama, makes the goof neshama-like. The goof becomes more ruchniyizdik, and the ruchniyiz rises. So the goof is pushed up lighter. It's a physical fact that a dead body is heavier than a living body. You put it on a scale, it weighs the same thing. But the weight is totally different, because the neshama makes the geshem light. Because neshama and goof don't fight with each other. They come together perfectly. And therefore the Rebbe questions the Lashon HaMishnah Bal Korchach. Bal Korchach Atachai. Bal Korchach, Bal Korchach, it's not Bal Korchach, it's Berotz. The very criteria, the very inyan of Chayim is two things getting together in the most perfect and most harmonious way. If the two things get together and they're not getting together in a perfect way, then it's no good. So what is the Lashon Bal Korchach? And the Rebbe says, you're right, we don't mean Bal Korchach. We use the word Bal Korchach for a specific purpose, but actually when the Neshama and the Guf come together, it's emphatically Beratzen. The Neshama wants to go into the Guf, and the Guf wants to come to the Neshama, and yet there's the Bal Korchach. Yeah. What's the Bal Korchach? What's the Bal Korchach? The Bal Korchach is that every Neshama, every person, if he's only alive, mitanemes, is constantly torn in two directions. He wants what he has. There's no question about what he has. If he didn't want what he had, he wouldn't have it. But there's an inner tension, there's an inner struggle, there's an inner melchama that makes this feeling, this sense of whatever I'm doing is not good enough. Psychologically, we use the word a frustration, a lack of peace with oneself. What does the Bal Korchach come from? The Bal Korchach comes from the struggle, really, from the struggle of Ratzon Hashpuch. Now let me explain this by going to the Sikha. The Rebbe has a Sikha, like I told you, Chelek Dalet, if you get Chelek Dalet, where the Rebbe analyzes this Mishnah. And he says like this, Bal Korchach Atachai is Shuv. Bal Korchach Atameis is Ratzon. Bal Korchach Atachai means to say you are forced to live in this world and do Gashmiz Dikim Mitzvahs, make a Dida B'Tachtonim and so on. Bal Korchach Atameis is Ratzon means to say you want to go away from the world, you want to be close to Hashem, you want to be disconnected from Gashmiz and so on. Okay? How would you say it from Lubavitch and Shteget? How would you say it in our generation, in our Sprach? There is the idea of Shlichas, and the idea of being this Gashas, close to the Rebbe. Shlichas is a Mesiras Nefesh. It's not only a Gash music, a Mesiras Nefesh, that I have to go live in Nebuch, in a beautiful house in the suburbs, with a garden and white neighbors. Yeah, that's a great Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah. It's a ruchni is the kamasiras nefesh. The ruchni is the kamasiras nefesh is, I'm going to be far away from the Rebbe, I mean not in a Yiddish and Chassidish environment, and I have to be the leader, I have to be the mashpia, it's not something that people want to do necessarily. And this is Bal Korchach Atachai, you're forced to go away, lech lecha mi'atzcha, lech lecha b'savicha, lasas leiz barach de b'tachtena. Then there's the Bal Korchach Atameis. What's Bal Korchach Atameis? I want to be next to the Rebbe, I want to be in 770, I want to be in the Rebbe's Dalai, I don't want to be a mashpia, I want to be a makam. So the Rebbe asks a very practical question. He says like this. They come to a neshama and tell you, listen, you want to be in Gan Eden, Bal Korchach Atachai, Lech Lecha. I'm forcing you to do shuv, to go out and live in the real world. So the neshama should think about it. And the neshama should say, okay, if the Eibishter wants me to go down into the Gashmiyistic world, and to live in the Gashmiyistic world, to make a day betachtenim, I might as well be happy about it. Why should the neshama go into the Gashmiyistic world, go on a shlichus, be eisek and debetachtenim, and constantly wish I wasn't here? It doesn't make sense. Choose your poison, as they say. Either b'kochach atachai or b'kochach atameis. How could it be both? You come to a Lubavitcher young man, and you tell him go on shlichus. He says I don't want to. You're forced to go on shlichus. Fine. So he goes on shlichus. But he recognizes this is the right thing to do, so he does it. And so he's not frustrated anymore. What's the Bakar Chatachai Bakar Chatameis? And the Rebbe has a beautiful gedank, mamash, a very practical gedank. And I'll put it to you in these words. What happens if a guy goes in shlichus and he likes it over there? He says, I'm good. Machai, it's a good life. That's it. That's not a shlichus anymore. If you take away the Bakar Chatachai, the Bakar Chatameis, it doesn't kinchai. The power of a shliach is he doesn't want to be where he is. The power of shlichus, the power of the neshama coming into the guf, is the constant sentiment, the constant feeling, I want to be someplace else. Because the desire to be close to the Eibishter is what gives the neshama the koyach to be in this world and conquer it rather than the world conquering him. The minute you take away the bakar chatachai, bakar chatameis, it's always bakar chatachai. In other words, think of it as tension. You know what's an example for tension? The top of a drum. Right? Today they make drums out of plastic, but a real drum is made from an animal skin, and it's stretched. It's stretched very, very tight, and there's a whole chokhmah to do it, yeah? Make it a little soft. Be nice, a bizzle. And hit the drum. What's it going to sound like? Nothing. The sound that the drum makes is directly the result of the tension, and the tighter it is stretched, the more distinct, the more crisp the sound is. Tension is necessary to create life. And in Avodas Adam, the tension is the Balkor Chata HaKor Chata Meis. Every person has an inner lichegerango, an inner struggle of here I want to be close to the Eibishter, and you have to make a derech tachtoinu. Or to say it from Bachrim Sheshbrach, I could sit and learn down for myself, or I could be makar of another Bachrim. And being makar of another Bachrim is a Mesiras Nefesh. And Bedaz Tachnas is going to cost me time, and I could learn another Chetikah Gemara. Yeah, and there's this constant pull. Yeah, so you have those Bachrim who completely forget about themselves, only makar of others. It's wrong. Why? Because then there's no tension in their life. And when there's no tension, they don't maximize themselves. And then you have the Bacher who thinks only about himself. Maybe he has tension, but as Nishke mentioned, that's not what the Rebbe Shlomo wants, that he never wants. Yeah? The balance of the Chassidish Bacher is that there are things that he knows he should do that he can't. And he wants to do them. And it's frustrating. It's the opposite of being at peace. It's the opposite of, they say in America, thou shalt be comfortable. You should know this. In the American Constitution, as I said, there's 10 commandments. And one of the 10 commandments is you should be comfortable. I mean, one of the, you'll be in shlichus, you'll find out that the number one rule about Americans, don't make them uncomfortable. You give an American a guilt trip, turn them off. You have to make them comfortable. Yeah? We're then enlightened Americans. We were also enlightened about Chassidim. That's tension. It don't go so well together. The effectiveness of life is the idea that I can't have everything. The moment I can have everything, I'm dead. Life is determined by the rots of Ashur, by being pulled the two directions. So Bal Korach doesn't mean that the Nisham is manifesting in the goof. Let me just conclude the thought. So the Rebbe says when a Yid goes to make a Dira B'tach Teiru, Yid goes on a Shlichas, the power of that Shlichas, he doesn't want to be there. Conversely, on the other hand, the integrity, the proof of the Emes, of the desire for him to be close to the Eibishter, to be in the Rebbe's Dal Ramas, is the fact that he went to Shlichus. The proof that he's truly Mekusher is that he has Mesiras Nefesh. If he's Mekusher and he sits in the Rebbe's Dal Ramas, so it doesn't have that power that comes from the Balkar. So the Rebbe, now getting back to our mind, says the Rebbe Rashab in our mind, that the Balkar Chatachai Bekar Chatmi doesn't mean you don't want. In Chayis, it's called the Chassidus Pnimius. You cannot be Bakar. You put a neshama to a goof against the neshama's wishes, the neshama's push is not going to reveal itself. Like you find in Chassidus about Gilgul, that when you take a neshama of a person, you put it into a goof of a behemoth, it doesn't reveal itself, and has Gevaldik Kitzar, because there's no such thing by a nefesh of Makim. It has to be Pnimius. It has to be Begili, and it can only be Begili if there's a Chayfetz, and a Chayshik, and a Ratz, and so on. Balkarach doesn't mean you don't want to do it. Balkarach means you want to do it. But there's a tension. You're happy about your life. You're thrilled about your life. You appreciate the necessity for this kind of an existence. Yet the nature of its being involves tension. What's the tension? The tension is the neshama wants to be close to the Eibishter. And because of the guf, the neshama wants to go away from the Eibishter. And these two wills are both credible. The neshama will does. When the neshama will does, the neshama actually wants both things. The neshama cannot get both things. And the net result is this Bal Korcha. Und das heißt gelebt. This is called life. it's like I said, even for us sitting here in this room, in a yeshiva, in Tem Chatmimim, But because we're Americans, we are conditioned to think in terms of sucking on a candy. And the truth of the matter is that the success in life doesn't come from sucking on candies. It comes from taking bitter pills. And the balkorchach, the tension that we create in our lives, make us the best that we could be. So this is the inyan bepashtas over here, right? The neshama wants to be connected to the Eibishter. The guf has a shedish in atzmos, which is higher than the shedish of the neshama. And the neshama feels that shedish, kodem of the guf. So even though the neshama by itself wants to go back to the Eibishter, because of the guf, it wants to go into the guf. And this is, of course, the idea of kais, or keli, for which we now have four mashalim. The zochan and the nekeva, right? Who wants to get married? If you have your mind to get married. Yeah? Nechez darge and nesiv itse. When you get married, nechez, you know what chasam means? To go to a lower level. Nechez darge and nesiv itse, to go down to a lower level to get married. A yid, and the same is true of a girl, you sit in yeshiva, it's a ruch nizdik, a lifetime to go get married. To be out of your mind. Yeah? Now but then, lasa say is baruch dele betachteinim. And the same is true. You have ideas in your head. The last thing you want to do is put those ideas into words. Why? Why would you want to put an idea into words? Because the moment you put the idea into words, the idea is shallow. The idea is so much geschmacked when it's in your machshav, in your dimyon. But if you wanted to teach it to somebody else, you have to put them into words. And the third example was, the Eibishter created Ein Sof. Ein Sof wants to be Eilu L'mayla. Teva Eilu Kol Bum Keli. It forced itself to go into a keli because of the shedish kadam of the kli. And the fourth example is the neshama going into the guf. The neshama has no interest in being in the guf. But mitzad ma'ilas ha'guf, the neshama says, I'm going to put aside my interest for my deeper interest, so to speak. So the keli is not just a makabel. The keli is giving something to the mashpia that the mashpia by himself doesn't have. Because the shedish of the keli is kadam to the shedish. The keli's root, the keli's source, is higher even than the shedish of the keli. This is the thrust, so to speak, of this inyan. And like I said to you, it ties into the inyan of kais. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay. As I've told you many times, if nobody has any questions, it means either.
You're saying the idea of Kaylee is a deeper, has a deeper source.
Right.
Not the Shalom that we're saying, but these Kaylee and Shalom have a deeper source than the
Kaylee. I don't understand the question.
Not the Kaylee in general has a deeper source than
And the logic to that is, because since it's Koyach Nivdal, remember the shiur the other day? Since it's created in a way of being separate, it's mushrish in Atmos, in the Bechina that he is separate, which is higher than Oyer, which is Dov, close to the Eibishter, and it's mushrish only in the Bechina of Moir, not the Bechina of Atmos. In a lower Madregi in the Eibishter. Huh? In the last shiur, what did I discuss with you?
Discussed that.
Right. And what I explained to you was that for something to be separate from Hashem, it has to have a higher source in him than for something to be attached to. The guf is separate from him, the neshama is not. The kelim is separate from him, the oir is not. Therefore, the oir recognizes the superior source of the keli and it elects to go into the keli.
The keli comes from part of Hashem, which is separate, which does not.
Which is higher than the oir. Higher than the oir. Forget the word separate for a moment. Just very simplistically, the shadish of the kelim are higher than the shadish of the oir, because the kelim come from Hashem in a way they're separated. So, so to speak, it takes a deeper koyach to create something separate from yourself than to create something which is attached to yourself. That's very logical. Okay? There's more to it, but that's as much as you need to have for this morning. Is that sufficient? Okay. Now, let's get philosophical for a moment, okay? Farana, Achal Gizena Moldaloshin. We all know, I'm just saying this to spice up the classic rap. We all know how precise Chassidus is. The truth of the matter is we don't know. We have no idea how precise Chassidus is. But the Rabbeim are very, very selective as source material. If you have a look in the Likutei Sichos, and the same is true also in the Tshuvos, the Rabbeim, it's in Tzemach Tzedek, and so on. In Nigla the Taylor, the Rabbeim quote everybody, or the Mamish everybody. In Chassidus, they quote select people. Some of the greatest Mekubalim of the last 700 years never appear in Chassidus. It's really interesting. Some of the greatest Mekubalim, you never see the names of Chassidus, because the Rabbeim were very specific about whom they quoted. And there's a vort which is brought in Chassidus, the name of a Chosid Adal Terebin, of Zalman Zezmin. So it says in the Sikhis, or in the letters of Yigi Rebbe, that this tells you who he was, that they quote from Zalman Zezmin in Chassidus. The Vilna Gaon is not quoted in Chassidus. The Meshechayim Lutzato, the Ramchal, the one who wrote him in Sos Yisharim, who's a Gevaldika Mekubu, is almost never quoted in Chassidus. And the Zalman Zezmin is quoted. I mean, Zalman Zezmin was a God, a greater mensch. What's the quote about the Zalman Zezmer? It's becoming now from Rosh Hashanah, and of course Rosh Hashanah David Menoch. Geilul Ein Mipnei Cheshech, V'Cheshech Mipnei Ein. He translated. Before the Tzimtzum there's Ein Sof. Geilul Ein, the Eibishter rolls away the Ein Sof, Kedem HaTzimtzum, Nei Cheshech, because of the Cheshech HaTzimtzum, because of the darkness of the Tzimtzum. V'Cheshech, and then he moves away that darkness of the Tzimtzum, Mipnei Ein, because the Ein of the Kav. Now, all of you have learned these concepts. Right? I don't know how well you've understood them, but you've all heard the concept of Ein Sof, and Mamalakom Akam Acholol, the Yigal HaGodol, and then there's a Siluk, there's a Tzimtzum Arishin, and then there's Chosav Hei, there's a Kav. Here's what you have to understand, that when Chassidus talks about these events, there's a Havonit in them. The more Chassidus you learn, this is Demis Fan, the Rebbe's and Varam Zerasach, the more you learn, since you realize that it actually makes sense. They're not just saying things. So let's do a quick analysis, okay? There's Eid Ein Sof, Mamala Kol Mokom Machol. Prior to the Abishas creation of the world, there was Eid. Eid Ein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem. How did that infinite light get there? Very good question. I don't know at the moment, okay? And the Abish decided to create a world. How did he create a world? He made a Tzimtzum Arishon. He took away the light. The next question is, how did Hashem take away the light? What did Hashem do in order to remove the light? The simple answer to that question is, what do you mean what Hashem did? Hashem can do anything he wants. He took away the light. It's Giblit Ma'el Avest. That's a good answer. But when you describe Tzimtzum Arishon as Hashem saying, well, there was light and I don't need the light now. I want a vacancy. I want a chol. Take away the light. Away the light. You're not explaining the Tzimtzum. You're just telling us a fact. The Eibishter can do anything he wants. He removes the light. Chassidus actually explains how the Tzimtzum Arishon takes place. Chassidus tells you, how does Hashem affect the Tzimtzum Arishon? Het avot. It's interesting to listen to. You know how the Tzimtzum Arishon happens? I'll tell you how the Tzimtzum Arishon happens. The Eibishter has light. Yeah? What is the number one quality of Eid? I'll tell you, okay? Because of the clock. The number one quality of Eid is Gilui, that it shines. Okay, you know, we talked about it last year, we talk about it in future Shirin, the number one quality of Gilui is that it's El Hazulas. To shine, you have to have somebody to shine to. And that's why they say in Lifni at Tzimtzum, there have to be Oasis HaRishimu, otherwise there's no Gilui. And another rule of Gilui is Tzimtzum. Whenever you reveal, you're limited. I'm talking to you, what I'm telling you is not the same as what I know, it's impossible. Koidim at Tzimtzum, there was Gilui in itself. The Eibishter light filled the whole void, all of the space. The light of the Eibishter was shining, right? We all wish we could experience the Ein Sof Shekeinu Matzimtzum. Shekeinu was a very high level. If we would experience Ein Sof Shekeinu Matzimtzum, there'd be a major difficulty in remaining me and you and us, right? But the Ein Sof Shekeinu Matzimtzum is Gilu, is revelation. So what does the Eibishter do to make Tzimtzum addition? What does he do? He shines a stronger light. And when the Eibishter shines a stronger light, it affects that the light was there becomes bottle. I'm going to say that one more time, okay? There was Ein Sof Mala Mokom Acholol. There was the infinite light of Hashem that filled up the whole vacancy, all the empty space. This light is Gilui. How does Hashem make Tzimtzum Arishon? The Lashon Chassidus says, he reveals to the Oir, Moir. He allows the light to fill its own source. What happens to light when it fills its source? Becomes part of the mind. You need an example? I'll give you an example. A guy is giving a class, and he's talking to a bunch of people. It's a room full of people, yeah? And his teacher walks in. The teacher's teacher walks in. What happens? Oh, he's accomplished. The teacher's not saying a word. He walks into the room, and the person is confused. His tongue gets tied. He can't speak. Why not? Because when you bring in a higher gilui, the lower gilui becomes a helem. How does Tzimtzum Arishon happen? How does Tzimtzum Arishon happen? The light of the Eibishter is all over. Hashem brings a stronger light, and the stronger light affects that the lesser light is not light anymore. It becomes choshech. Hashem removes the light through darkness. What does darkness mean? Darkness doesn't mean headed. Darkness doesn't mean the opposite of light, the vacuum, the emptiness of life. Darkness means a higher light, a light that is so high that it doesn't shine. So if you think about it, Tzimtzum Rishon is higher than the Ein Sof, which is Ketan Tzimtzum Rishon. How does the Eibishter affect Tzimtzum Rishon? He brings in a stronger light, and this stronger light takes away the Ein Sof, which is Ketan Tzimtzum. Then it says, V'choyshech mipnei Eir. The Eibishter then pushes away the darkness because of a new Eir. So how does Chassidus explain it? The Eibishter had a light which filled up the whole Chol. He removed that light by bringing in a choyshech, which was stronger than that Eir, right? The Kav is even stronger than the choyshech of Tzimtzum Rishon. The Eir HaKav, the light of the Kav, which shines after the Tzimtzum. We never think about these things, but you'll come across them in Chassidus and you'll be like lost. Do you know how Chassidus describes the Kav? You have it in Samach Vav, you have it in the Rebbe also. You know Chassidus describes the Kav as a Bekiah. You know what Bekiah means? Bekiah means something that breaks through, that bursts out. Chassidus gives a mashal. Imagine you have a barrel that's filled to the brim with water and you keep putting in more water. What's going to happen? It's going to burst. And water's going to come shooting out of a crack. That's a muscle for Kav. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means the Eibishter created a darkness, a choyshech. The choyshech that the Eibishter created is stronger than the Gilui. It doesn't allow light to shine. It obliterates. It does not allow light to shine. Then the Eibishter is choyshev ahead. He wants to bring a Kav back. How does he do that? There's a level of alakus which is not only higher than the oyer, which was prior to the tzimtzum. It's higher even than the darkness of the tzimtzum itself that forces itself through the choyshech. Or to use another words, when you learn about the kav, yet in most places, what are they going to tell you about the kav? Before the tzimtzum, there was a lot of light. Then there was a tzimtzum, and then there was no light. And the Eibishter made a kav, and he brought back less light. Right? That's how you learn it. That's called Chitzonius HaKav. There is something called Pnimius HaKav. Pnimius HaKav, you have it in the Man of the Rebbe, of the Bar Mitzvah, from the Friedrich Rebbe. You test Tammuz, Tav Reish, Tav Shin Chav Ches, which is printed, look at Chelek Gimel, you can look up the Maimon. Pnimius HaKav comes from what's called Teferes Anelam. Teferes Anelam, it's a union in Brooklyn. Teferes Anelam is a Madrega Valakus, which is even stronger than the Choshech of the Tzimtzum. And it forces the light through the Tzimtzum. In other words, we have three levels. We have the Ein Sof Lifnei Tzimtzum, we have the Tzimtzum itself, we have the Eir HaKav She'acher HaTzimtzum. From the knowledge that you have, I'm going to surmise, I don't know what you have in your heads, but I'm going to surmise that you all imagine that the Ein Sof Lifnei Tzimtzum is the strongest, the Tzimtzum is less, and the Kav is even less. What you need to understand is that's the way it's in Hishtashlus. In the Sheirish, it's actually Pufakert. The Ein Sof Shekeidem HaTzimtzum is the weakest. The Tzimtzum is stronger than it. V'haraya, it pushes it away. And the Kav is even stronger than the Tzimtzum. V'haraya, it's Bekeya Cheshek HaTzimtzum. It bursts through the darkness. Everything is backwards. The lower levels have a higher Sheirish. The Eira Kav is less than the Ein Sof Shekeidem HaTzimtzum. But there's something about Eira Kav which gives it a Sheirish in Teferes HaNelam, which is not only higher than what's called in Kabbalah, the Eagle HaGadol, the Ein Sof Shekeidem HaTzimtzum, it's higher even than the Cheshek HaTzimtzum itself. And there's a pasuk in Tilim. I think it's in Kapitel Samach Gimel, but I could be wrong. The Chassidus quotes, Keil Elikim Havaya Dibir. Keil is Chesed. Elikim is Gevura. And Havaya is Teferet. So it says, Keil, Ein Sof Lifnei HaTzimtzum. Elikim, Choshech HaTzimtzum. Havaya, the Kav, which is Bekeya the Tzimtzum. In other words, the light that comes through the Tzimtzum, the fact that it's able to break through the darkness of the Tzimtzum proves, it indicates, it reflects, it has a higher Sheirish than the Tzimtzum itself. So everything you learn in Chassid is actually in the reverse. To create a light that's Mitzumtzum is not only stronger than the light that's Bleed Tzimtzum, the Ein Sof Lifnei Tzimtzum, it's stronger than the Cheshech HaTzimtzum itself. Now before I continue, does anybody want to say anything or ask any questions? Hagvol and Kechabligvol, right. I'm getting to that in a minute. No, it's not three separate things. This is called Hishtalshlus. In Eretz Yisrael, lifnei tzimtzum, yahav kecha gvolim pliyach abligvo. In the tzimtzum, etzav yahav kecha gvolim pliyach abligvo. And in the kav yahav kecha gvolim pliyach abligvo. Each one of these three levels has both. Yeah, so what? In chesed you have gvolim bligvo, in gevur you have gvolim bligvo, and in tefes you have, in each one of these steps you have all three things, all both of those things. Not according to this year, no, this is, you don't know where you're stumbling into, but I'm not going there. Right, you're right. And the kav would be the third thing, but we're not going into it. It's like nine bays. The ganze, it's the verstehen. No? Now it's not bigger, it's smaller, but it's deeper.
It's a higher.
I don't like the word higher, it's a deeper madrega light. Because it's less, lepoyo mamish, it's less light.
It's from a higher source.
Huh?
It's a more kosher type of light, right?
I'm going to answer you in Oisius from Philosophia, um, if it's a zichet nicht zusammenreden. Do that in kamos, ich rede in echos. Yeah, so don't use words that indicate kamos. Echos, it's a tiefere Lichtigkeit.
Right. So that means that, does this mean that in the end, when it comes
down,
this process going on, when it comes down, see it, create this world, so this power to create this world,
which is the lowest, it's from the deepest. Of course, absolutely. Precisely, sure. And for the same reason. Because if the light could be so mitzumtzum and be boikea, onkum and bizahetsu, it has to have a shade of shachikadim. Of course.
So there's thousands of lights that will be higher and higher and higher.
I guess. If that makes you interested, if you like to be confused, it's very.
No, because of Eilat Seif, Shalimia, Tzimtzum, this Eilat is mud. Ain't safe higher.
That's right. Yeah, gerecht. Was ist denn?
First of all, R you would say is a gilui, as you said before, right?
I said the conventional translation of the word R is gilui, right?
R is gilui then means automatically since it's higher.
You're right. That's what I'm about to discuss. It's exactly what I'm about to point out.
Right, and another thing is that this thing that we say that the R is higher than the Ensaf, is it everybody agrees on this?
Eid HaKav.
HaKav and Ensaf.
The Eid HaKav is lower than the Ensaf. The shade of Eid HaKav is higher.
Very
vague. Was fragst du?
I know that the Vilna Gaon is the Hobbit.
It has nothing to do with the Vilna Gaon. It has to do with the Padres and the Arizal. You're stumbling into the same thing he's stumbling in, but I don't want to go there now. In the last year, I've done it. Probably later on in the year, I'm going to be talking to you about it. Where he brings up Eretz. It's two different shittas in Kabbalah. The idea of Tefes Nelam Kav, the Sheish Kav and the Sheish Tzav is Ikir in the Kabbalah of Eitz Chaim, or the Eitz Chaim, as it's called. Now, why am I bringing this up? What's the point? What, I'm going to kill time? I'm bringing this up to bring out, the, so to speak, the essence of this Maimed. The essence of this Maimed is, any time you go lower, you're coming from higher. It's a fact. Any time you go lower, you're coming from higher. Because going lower means becoming more and more separated from the Eibishter. And I started to tell this to you in the last shiur, and I really changed my mind. I was chatchila going to discuss with you another concept, a similar concept, but this is a concept that I've discussed in previous year. I figured chazak apsabis alandish. I didn't want to say the same thing. Chas v'shalom, emes v'gidek, and farayon, and v'chal giret, they didn't show up. V'zayin chil Hashem. But the point is like this, you should know. Ma'ir is choyshech. The source is dark. But dark is not bad. Dark is the best. Because dark means to say, it's so one that nothing is coming out of it. Oyer, me'ayinam oyer, light that comes from the source, is also dark. Light that comes from a source is dark. Because just like the source is dark, the light is one with the source, it's but the source wants to be dark. The very fact that there is a concept that we call Oyer HaMeir, a light that's begilui, is through a tzimtzum. In order for light to make it shine, it has to go through a tzimtzum. The gashmi is what is it? There's a natika shemesh, there's a shield around the sun. This shield around the sun changes the Oyer HaShem, and the Rebbe in Zamavav questions whether it's true in the Mashal. But in the Nimshal it's for sure true. In Tzimtzum Edition, If not for the fact that around the sun there's a shield, the sun's light would be invisible. You wouldn't see it. Because the sun's light would be davak mar, because that's to its source. The nature of light is not to shine. In order to make light shine, you have to change it, make it less. You have to make it feel its source less, and as a result of feeling its source less, then it begins to shine. Okay? Now, you want to make a tzimtzum of that light? You have to go even higher. Now, you want to overpower that tzimtzum? You have to go even higher. Everything is backwards. The lower you bring something, the higher it shaders. Because the process of bringing lower means to separate. You're talking about the Eibishter. What does it mean to bring something lower? That something should be less and less one with the Eibishter. As you go through Seder Hashtashos, what's taking place? You're creating new mitzvahism, new entities, right? Like you mentioned in the last year, they know themselves more and know the Eibishter less. That's what Hashtashos is about. In the highest level of Seder Hashtashos, you know Hashem more and yourself less. In the lower level of Seder Hashtashos, you know yourself more, you know the Eibishter less. It's a process of becoming separated. Every step of Havdalah has to have a Shedesh Yesod Kodem. Every time you want to become more steps from the Eibishter, you have to go even higher. Tav is more separate from the Eibishter than the Tzimtzum edition. It's certainly more separate from the Eibishter than the Ego HaGod, than the Netzav Shlesh, the Tzimtzum. That itself is the proof that the Shedesh HaKav has to be higher. It can't be any other way. Because to go lower, you have to have a higher Shedesh. Our Maimed is adding one additional Nekuda, and that is, since something that's lower has a higher Shedesh, if you're in the middle, you look up, you see the Eibishter, you want to be touching the Eibishter. You look down, you see something lower than yourself, but you recognize that in this lower thing, there's a higher Shedesh than you have. That's the Pshat Balkar. You're torn in two directions. Everything that descends lower has a higher Shedesh. And therefore, something higher, on the one hand, its Teva is, it wants to be attached to the Eibishter. On the other hand, it wants to descend to a lower level because when it descends to a lower level, it's getting in touch with the Eibishter in a way that it cannot get in touch with the Eibishter on its own. It's that simple.
Reading this world is doing what's the matter, right? So how would you say that darkness now, night, should happen, should be because it's so bright? Is that true?
In Chassidus, they bring down 2 days about Choshech. Where the Choshech is a Metzius, Bifnei Atzma, and even Atzma, Choshech is headed for a lack of light. I heard, yeah. But the Pashtus, the Gashmi Zikahid is headed. You want an example for Choshech is headed for black holes. You know what a black hole is? A black hole is a star that's so intense that it produces no visible light. None. Mamish, it's a Gashmi Zikahid. That's he coughed them down. I never spoke about it, I wrote letters on it. The idea of a black hole. A star, yeah, is a huge, huge mass of Choyma. When a star becomes very, very, very big, what happens? There's pressure, right? There's gravity. This Earth has a certain amount of gravity. The gravity on planet Earth is directly proportional to the mass of the Earth, yeah? The Sun is a million times as massive as the Earth. So the gravitational pull is so strong that it blows up, it becomes a furnace, it becomes a nuclear reactor. Right? So the star is this humongous nuclear reactor, and there's an enormous, there's pressure, it's burning at with millions of degrees, literally. What happens? Light shines out of it. Yeah? And because the light shines out of it, 93 million miles away, we're alive, we're warm, and we eat. All those three things you get from the sun, right? What would happen if the sun wouldn't be as million times as massive as the Earth? It would be a million, million times as massive as the Earth. The gravity would be so strong, it wouldn't let the light out. So it would be dark. And it's a physical phenomenon, it's called the black hole. It's a Gashmiyistic thing, it's a star that produces no light. And if you get, let's say, a few million miles next to the black hole, you're drawn into the black hole at approximately the speed of light. Which is, you know how fast that is? So there is a Gashmiyistic concept, or a mor, a source, that's so intense it produces no light. In the Samach Vav, when he talks about this idea that I mentioned, he says he's not sure, the Rebbe Rashab writes, he's not sure whether it's true in the Moshe. But in the Nimshal, certainly that way. In the Nimshal, oil comes out of the source is dark. And you have to make a tzimtzum for the earth to be begili b'chol. Anybody else have any questions? Okay.